Our first reading is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. O Lord, have mercy on us. The epistle is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. Now we commend you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because you were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked day and night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel is recorded in Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 5. These words serve as our sermon text. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against his people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Life can be complicated, challenging, and at times downright difficult, no matter who you are. When you're a Christian, a disciple of Christ, life can be more complicated. You see things in your own life that should not be there, and you struggle with that. You look at the world, at history, or at society, and see even more things that are not honoring the Son of God or serving his purposes. It would be easy, very easy, to deal with the difficulties of life by simply withdrawing, playing it safe, living in discouragement and fear. The words from our gospel lesson in Luke 21 promise his disciples, standing there with Jesus in the first century in Jerusalem, that their lives would be hard, incredibly hard, in the times that led up to the year 70 AD. For in that year, Jesus' prediction of judgment came true. The religious leaders who rejected Jesus were punished by God through the destruction of the temple and laying waste to the city of Jerusalem by the Romans. What were the disciples to do? What are we to do, even though our lives may never become that difficult? Jesus' words invite us to see past the trouble, to look beyond the sorrow and evil in the world, and to see the day that he will return to judge the living and the dead, and to remove all sin and make all things right. Because it is Jesus who says these things, we can be confident that God is going to rescue his church, which is our theme this morning. My fellow members of the one holy Christian and apostolic church, our first point simply says, no matter how bad it gets, a world in rebellion against God cannot thwart his plans. I find that thought very comforting. Long ago, the story seemed to be moving toward a very, very bad end. But the world's victory over Jesus was shattered. God triumphed, as he always does. Jesus, Israel's true king, had come to the capital city. He came to do battle. All the forces were arrayed against him. Chief priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, and the Roman authorities. If you were an outsider looking in, it may have appeared on the surface that they had actually won. For Jesus was arrested, condemned to death. He was executed by hanging on a cross. Dead usually remains dead. But Jesus lives. That is the story of Easter. That is the story of his victory. He has triumphed. He lives forever. And his promises and his words live forever because he lives. Your sin and mine has the power to take our lives toward a very, very bad end. But sin's power over us has been shattered. You and I are by nature and by thought, word, and deed, part of this old, dying, rebellious world. Let's put it in perspective for a moment. When we are greedy, we are pretending that we are Lord over our things. And we end up pretending to be God, and then often he gets leftovers. When we hold back in our loving and forgiving of others, or when we judge others in sinful anger, we're trying to play God. An unforgiving heart is a sinful heart and is not the heart of a disciple of Jesus. It does not reflect the face of Christ Jesus towards others, but mirrors the sinful and lying heart of the evil one. Those sins and others could bring you and me down to death, eternal death and separation from God's life and love as evidenced in his Son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus was willing to go down into death for our sin. He was willing to be made sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He lives and reigns. Our death has been conquered. We do not have to fear. By virtue of our baptism, we belong to him. We are freed and forgiven. And yet, we can look around and see a world which appears to be spinning out of control. While some of the text was fulfilled in 70 AD, we see the vestiges of what Jesus spoke of being exhibited today. Jesus said, "Take heed that you not be misled. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately." Then he continued by saying to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." Whether it's politics and government, catastrophes or disasters, terrorism, or major stock market adjustments, there's a lot out there that could frighten us. But in the middle of it all, God comforts us with his word. Jesus says it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. And don't worry about what you're going to say ahead of time, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. What wonderful promises Jesus gives to you, his church. Jesus says to us, "I have redeemed you. I have rescued you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God's word assures us that he is moving the world toward the goal of his day. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In the midst of all of the rebellion of this world, God says, I will rescue my church. Therefore, we look forward to the great day with confidence in Christ Jesus, which is our last point. It says in verse 28, but when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The hymn we just sang. Listen again. The day is surely drawing near when Jesus, God's anointed, in all his power shall appear as judge whom God appointed. When that will happen, we do not know, but we do know that our Lord is in charge of everything leading up to that day. In the first century, the Jewish leadership thought that they were in charge, that they could stop and kill and eliminate Jesus and remain leaders of God's people. But the Romans eventually came and took care of them. That was a little judgment day on their rebellion against Jesus. And for that matter, after Jesus' death and resurrection, well, the temple was no longer needed as God's true temple. Christ Jesus had come in human flesh. And no doubt the Romans thought they were in charge. But you know, the Roman Empire eventually fell. God is running the show, and history is moving toward his future. Every time you read or hear about a war or disaster, let it remind you that this tired, troubled world is moving toward the goal, the plan that God has for it when Christ Jesus returns in all his glory. Looking trouble in the eye, we need not fear because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to the hymn, hear these comforting words. My Savior paid the debt I owe, and for my sin was smitten. Within the book of life I know, my name has now been written. I will not doubt, for I am free, and Satan cannot threaten me. There is no condemnation. May Christ our intercessor be, and through his blood and merit, read from his book that we are free with all who life inherit. Then we shall see him face to face with all his saints in that blessed place which he has purchased for us. Christ Jesus continues to speak a gracious word to his church. In his Holy Supper, when it is offered, he gives us his own very shed body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the renewing and strengthening of our faith. He enables us to stand as his forgiven sons and daughters. As the last verse of that hymn says, O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. Oh, hear and grant our fervent plea. Come, mighty judge, and set us free from death and every evil. We remember and rejoice that God is going to rescue his church. in Jesus' name and completed work. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.